Like I said, my name is Justin DeVore, and this morning I'll be talking about using deep tillage with a mobile bore plow and using that in combination with a rye cover crop as an alternative control method for glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth in cotton. In 2008, cotton was a $3.3 billion crop, and it accounted for roughly 2% of the total value of production of principal crops. And in Arkansas, we produced around 11% of the total cotton for the nation, so it's a very economically important crop in Arkansas still. And it's one of the biggest expenses producers are faced with today is the weed control in their cotton. In 2005, Webster conducted a weed survey and found that the Amaranthus species were among the top 10 most common and the top 10 most troublesome weeds in cotton. And part of the several reasons they're so troublesome, and in particular Palmer amaranth being so troublesome, is that it exhibits season-long emergence. So you might, the problem with glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth, you might spray it once, but it'll come back later in the season. It is highly competitive, with growth up to 6.5 feet or even 9 or 10 feet. It has developed resistance to several confirmed herbicides now, one of which being glyphosate. It has high seed production, as many as 600,000 seeds per single female plant, and it can greatly reduce the cotton lint yield reduction. As you can see there, it can reduce it 92% at just one plant per 12 square feet. Deep tillage was once, it was commonly used as a means of weed control. It is a very effective means of weed control, but today it isn't used much in the South anymore, primarily for some environmental concerns of soil erosion and runoff, and also some economical concerns of just having to make extra trips across the field. Like I said, it's still a very effective means of weed control, and being that it is effective, it can reduce reliance on herbicides. For this experiment, we hypothesized that when we combined a conventional tillage practice with a rye cover crop, that it would reduce the amount of emergence of Palmer amaranth in our cotton. To test our hypothesis, we designed an experiment to specifically look at the impact of deep tillage alone and a rye cover crop alone, and then the combination of the two to see their effect on the Palmer amaranth emergence as well as the soil seed bank numbers. Our experiment was located at the Cotton Research Station in Marianna, Arkansas in 2009. It was designed with a randomized complete block setup, with a 2x2 factorial arrangement of treatments, and it was replicated 4 times. The first factor in the experiment was the deep tillage using the mobile bore plow, and the second factor was the use of the rye cover crop. And you can see in the pictures there the different plots where the rye and the no cover were. Our plot sizes were, they're 8 rows wide by 200 feet long. And in the center of each of the plots, we marked off a 22 square foot area or a 2 meter square area in the center of every plot by GPS. And we did it by GPS so that we can come back to the same spot the following year to conduct the same experiment. And once we marked that 2 meter square area in the center of the plots, we then placed 500,000 resistant Palmer amaranth, glyphosate resistant Palmer amaranth seed. And then at that point, each of the plots were disced twice, and the plots that were going to receive the deep tillage were deep tilled, and then everything was bedded up. Our cover crops were established in fall of 2008, with the rye being seeded at 60 pounds per acre, and then our cotton was seeded at 3.5 seed per foot of row. And you can see by this lower picture that the rye didn't have very much of an impact on the stand counts, which I'll get into later. So our 4 treatments for this experiment: we had a mobile bore plow with a rye cover crop, a mobile bore plow with no cover crop, And then we have no mole board plow with a rye cover crop and no mole board plow with no cover crop. We took soil cores in each of the plots in the fall of 2008 and the fall of 2009. We took them at 0 to 6 and 6 to 12 inches. We also, for this experiment, we took yield data at harvest, and then later on, when I'll be working on my thesis, we're going to evaluate the economics of this experiment to see if the reduction in emergence you get is going to be feasible for the extra trips across the field as well as the cost of the rye. Data collection for this experiment consisted of going out every 3 to 4 weeks. We counted and removed all emerged Palmer amaranth, and we wanted to remove it because we didn't want to have to, or we didn't want to count the same plant twice, because we were trying to get an idea of the total amount of emergence. And we did this a total of 5 times during the growing season. All of our data were subjected to an analysis of variance, standard error of mean. Okay, here we have our analysis of variance table. You can see that the tillage had a significant effect for the first two counting dates, but not for the later three. Same with the cover crop, it was significant on the first two counting dates. And then we had a significance in our tillage and cover crop interaction on the first two counting dates. And I'll present the emergence data here following, and you'll be able to see why there wasn't any significance on the later three counting dates. Here's just showing the significance among the overall five of the count dates, the total emergence. And again, you can see that we had significance in the tillage alone, in the cover crop alone, as well as our tillage by cover crop interaction was significant. Okay, the next five slides are going to show our emergence data for progressing through our five count dates. All these graphs are going to be set up the same, where we have on our y-axis total emergence, and on the x-axis we have our treatment. And these numbers are just averaged across the four replications of each treatment. And so for our first counting date on May 21st, you can see that the mole board plow by itself, when looking at the mole board with no cover crop and the no mole board with no cover crop, you can see that it had a significant reduction in emergence by itself. Same thing when you look at the cover crop by itself. When you look at no mole board with the cover crop and no mole board with the no cover crop, to where cover crop is the only factor, you can see that it also greatly reduces the emergence. And then when you combine the two with the mole board and the cover crop, you had a very significant reduction in emergence. Moving on to our second counting date, the second date's just stacked on top of the first date so that you can get an idea of the total emergence. But you can still see the significance of the mole board plow by itself. You can see that it has quite a bit less emergence that occurred. And the same thing for the cover crop by itself, a significant amount less than the no cover crop. And then again, the mole board and cover crop combination still provided a high amount of reduction. For our third counting date, you can see that the emergence is slowed down. At this time, the cotton's growing up. It's starting to fill in the row spacing. It's becoming a little bit more competitive. And here you can see that the amount of emergence doesn't differ a whole lot across the treatments. And this is where you don't have any significance among the treatments that was shown in the analysis of variance table earlier. For our fourth date, may be hard to see, but there is a line up there on the top of those. We had very little emergence at this time. The cotton's pretty much canopied at this time. There's not going to be much emergence here. So again, no significance among any of the treatments. Same thing for the last counting date. Very little emergence here, and even no emergence in some of the plots. So there's still no significance among the treatments on these later counting dates. Something I think that's worth saying, I mentioned earlier, There was no impact on the stand count between the treatments, whether it had the rye cover crop or no rye cover crop. All the rye cover crop and no cover crop plots averaged around 2.4 to 2.9 plants per foot of row. Also, the cover crop did not have an effect on our yields. Both in the cover crop and no cover crop systems, we averaged around 2,400 pounds an acre. So a very slight difference in those two. In conclusion, we can see that deep tillage in combination with the rye cover crop did reduce the amount of Palmer amaranth emergence during the growing season. Therefore, we accepted our hypothesis. For some future research, we'd like to look at integrating this experiment with some residual herbicides or different modes of action. We can look at a variety of herbicides. We may be able to look at some different cotton cultivars and maybe like some rotational systems like Griff presented earlier. And we could also look at the effects on other weed species, see if the effect is different on some species. I'd like to acknowledge Monsanto for providing funding for this research. And with that, I'll conclude my presentation and answer any questions.
Any questions for our speaker?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you count all of the weeds in the plot, or did you have some of the plot, and did you see any difference between rows, or if you looked between rows versus in the row, and your number of weeds you observed?
The first part, you asked if we just counted all the weeds in the whole plot or in sections. What we did was we had our center 2 meter square area marked off, and we counted everything inside that. And then we would count the first count. We counted pretty much the whole plot because we had emergence all the way through the plot. And then after that, you could see that there wasn't as much emergence further off, so we'd only count 40 feet either side of the meter square. And then, of course, for this presentation, we just totaled everything up. And then could you repeat the second part of your question?
You had cotton in these plots. Did you see any difference, say, like between the rows where you had maybe more of the rye and then within the rows where you would have stripped in?
No, not really. Since everything was first disced up, it kind of incorporated all the seed pretty evenly. And then, of course, there was a little bit, there was some more on top of the rows after bedding it up. We brought a lot of that seed that was buried back up on top of those beds. So we saw a little bit more on top.
Any more questions for our speaker? I was giving my hand.